With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in. It's the final hour of the week. If you want to get in with the 654 Roar is the number for the phone lines and the Adams & Co. roofing text line this morning on the program. You're listening to Facts on Sports with Baxton and John. Before we get back into the action, Great Southern Homes is who you need to go to if you're looking to build a home. Leading builder in the Southeast, they offer quality-built, affordable homes tailored for today's growing families. They emphasize green living, energy efficiency in their homes. And they also incorporate great features like the R38 attic insulation, tankless water heaters, Energy Star appliances to promote a smart and sustainable living experience. Great Southern Homes also provides model homes for prospective buyers to explore, ensuring transparency and confidence in their offerings with the commitment to quality, affordability, and customer satisfaction. Great Southern Homes is dedicated to helping you find your dream job in the Southeast. You can visit them online at greatsouthernhomes.com to learn more today. John, we've been talking through this article, expectations, roster evaluations. We have a lot of first-year head coaches, and most of which have found their names in the national spotlight for the right or wrong reasons. But Wake Forest is a team that kind of gets left in the dust when talking about those first-year head coaches. I think Dicker can coach his tail off. I'm just not sure it really matters long-term as we move down this list. And we'll wrap this pretty quickly because I've got some NFL things to get to as well, John. But anything else to add on the Demon Deeks as we shift forward? I think it's going to be interesting to see who wins the QB battle between Robbie Ashford and Deshaun Purdy. That might be the only storyline I'm monitoring in Winston-Salem this offseason.
Well, I'm curious, is Coach Dickert going to do what he did offensively back at Washington State?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we know that his offensive coordinator is with John Mateer and Brent Venables down at Oklahoma now. But I think you could design an offense, especially when he brought over a lot of his offensive line from Washington State to kind of help pave the way here. Yeah. I'm very curious to see how much of that old offense are they going to try to import here in Winston-Salem?
Yeah.
Because I think Robbie Ashford is he's a very athletic quarterback. I think he is limited throwing the football. I think that is probably as polite as I can put it. But I think if you were asking him to do a lot of different running, different type of stuff like you did with more Mateer, not as much maybe with Ward, I could see a little bit of a path there for a successful offense.
It does feel like we have to acknowledge with Dickert at minimum, and I get that he had Arbuckle and then Ward is the number one pick, and Mateer is a kid that looks like he's NFL bound after this year and Norman as well. But I do feel like Dickert has to deserve some level of credit for the development of those guys. Like
absolutely. Or at least going out and picking them out.
Right. So like the guy can ID talent. The guy understands what it takes to conduct a great offense at the collegiate level. The question now is, how are you getting the players to Winston-Salem? That's really my only question here. I like Jake Dickert as a coach. We talked Wazoo football the last couple years on the program. Last year, obviously, the roster was pretty hindered with what they could do, but they were a fun watch because of Mateer and those receivers that were just frisbee-catching dogs on the outside. This team's going to be pretty fun this year, I will say that. I'm excited to never have to play the slow mesh crap again, and I'm glad that that's out of Winston-Salem. So I'm pretty excited to watch Wake football this year. It'll be interesting to see how they like to strategize their offense, John, as you alluded to, with new pieces in the fray and not an NFL talent-level quarterback for really the first time in the last couple of years for Dickert. So I think there's a lot to monitor there for an ACC foe in the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. We've got three teams left on this list. I want to breeze through this in the next five or so minutes, if you're good with that, John, because I don't think there's a lot to call home about UCF, Purdue, or Stanford. If there's one team that catches my eye here that could be competent this year, it would probably be UCF with Scott Frost. Obviously, it's an area and a school he's had success at. I'm not discounting Barry Odom at Purdue. He's got a decent little transfer class, but that was one of the worst teams in P4 last year, and they play in a good league.
They've also lost transfers to Texas, Oregon, Clemson, Texas Tech, Ohio State, Louisville, and Southern Cal in this cycle.
Yeah. Purdue could have a rough year.
They'll continue to have rough years. For me, I think that the one that is not getting enough attention for how bad things could be, because I don't feel great about the other one. I think UCF has a chance to be atrocious.
Really? Yeah.
They have former Tennessee, now former Indiana quarterback Taven Jackson coming to play under center. You've lost some pieces on the defensive side. But here's my main reason why I don't think they're going to be very good this year. Who was their head coach the last couple of seasons?
At Purdue?
At Central Florida.
Or at Central Florida. It was Gus Bus.
That's correct. What does Gus Malzahn like to do?
Gus Bus likes to spread it out and run. Run and gun.
Run. Run being the key word. They don't have a receiver worth anything on this team. If you wanted to see a passing game in Central Florida, I don't know if 2025 is the year for you.
They're projected to have 9 new starters on offense and 7 new starters on, or 8 new starters on defense, yeah, all of the portal. Like, of their 22 starters, 17 are projected to be transfers.
This is going to get ugly. I have a feeling this season, this situation here, I'm not necessarily saying that the Scott Frost hire is doomed, but man, I think that's... I understood why West Virginia did what they did. I don't understand this move.
Yeah.
And I understand you were caught off guard by Gus Malzahn leaving to go be a coordinator. I get that. But this was a very uninspiring hire, in my opinion. And I just think it's one that lacks any sort of identity to it. I mean, I run through the schedule really quick. You have 3 home games to start: Jacksonville State, North Carolina, A&T, and North Carolina. You're going, what, 1-2 in that stretch? Maybe 2-1, because Jacksonville State's also completely retooling and reloading.
Yeah, you're probably going to go 2-1 there.
You're probably going to lose to North Carolina, although I mean, talk about two teams I know nothing about.
Throw something at the wall for that one. I've got no clue.
I don't feel good about them going to Kansas State. Don't feel good about them hosting Kansas. Don't feel good about them going to Cincinnati, who I actually think is going to be a pretty improved team this year. They get a chance to host West Virginia middle of October. All right. They're not winning at Baylor. Probably not going to beat Houston. I don't like them against Texas Tech or BYU. Maybe they could beat Oklahoma State if they're like they were last year. My point being, this is a 3-9 football team. Maybe a 4-8 football team. I don't see a situation how they get to a bowl game. And I think offensively, it's going to be a tough watch in Orlando, Florida this fall.
I'm going to push back on one specific play. I don't disagree with anything you said. I actually think Taven Jackson's got a little bit of talent at QB based on the limited action that I saw from him at Indiana last year. That could be Cignetti and the system and them being really good. But if the players around him are garbage, to your point, does it really matter who your quarterback is?
KJ Jefferson was garbage at Central Florida last year. Taven Jackson... If you go back and remember the game, I think it was the Nebraska game he had to start, where they had game day or they had a lot of attention there. Like, they ran it.
They
didn't give him the keys to the offense. And this is a young man who was highly touted as a recruit, could not find the field in Knoxville, and got beat out last year by Curtis Rourke, who played the entire year on a torn ACL and had a whole litany of other injuries going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just strikes me as somebody who was a miss by the recruiting services that yet we're still going to give another power conference opportunity to.
Yeah. He can run. Maybe that provides a little bit of a pulse here for this team. And I just don't trust these. The thing that I hate the most about the portal, John, is these patchwork O-lines. I don't trust any of these patchwork O-lines.
How can you?
And that's my biggest hesitation here is like, I feel like that's a position where continuity is one of the most underrated things. Like, you played O-line.
Well, yeah, that's why you don't see good offensive linemen in the portal.
Yes.
Because teams are doing everything in their power to retain. You don't see good offensive linemen hit the transfer portal.
You got 3 months to figure it out with the whole new group, and you don't even know if the guys that you're getting are going to be good or conducive to what you're trying to do schematically, or good at what you're trying to do schematically.
Look at Oklahoma last year. Have arguably one of the top 5 offensive line coaches in the game in Bill Biedenbaugh. Had to portal an entire new offensive line. They were atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
Yep.
Bill Biedenbaugh, the same coach who produced like multiple Joe Moore award-winning offensive lines.
It ain't the coach.
So I just, there's, when I look at this Central Florida team, that is the squad that I look at that if a team's in need of finding wins on the schedule, that's the where I'm giving it to them.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at like 1-7, 2-6 in conference play.
I think it could get ugly this year. I tend to agree. Let's shift gears to some National Football League, if you're good with that, 6-5-4 Roar, because I didn't have you yesterday, and something's happened in your division. Jair Alexander has signed with the Baltimore Ravens, who I continue to scratch my head at how they keep getting this money and cap space to make these moves happen. I guess this is how other teams feel about the Eagles at times. But in all seriousness, John, this makes the Ravens... I think the Ravens have the best roster in the National Football League on paper, definitely in the AFC. But again, that doesn't really matter because you could have said that at three of the last four seasons. I buy into the Ravens what I feel like every year, and they do the same thing to me every year, which is they get on the big stage with Mahomes and they lose, or they get on the big stage with Allen and they lose. Yet for the regular season, they look dominant against just about everybody else that they play. I guess my question to you is, I get you're a Steelers fan, you watch this division more than I do, does this get Baltimore over the hump, or are you not buying this team until they prove they can look Mahomes in the eye and say, we're better than you and this is the year?
Yes. More so that, because I also don't know if Jair Alexander is going to play more than six games for the Baltimore Ravens this year.
Yeah.
1 year, $6 million deal. I think anybody, any general manager would have signed him to that contract.
Agreed.
He wanted to be back with his teammate, his former teammate from college, Lamar. I get that, all of it. It's why I'm happy that I have Arthur Smith as my offensive coordinator, and I've got a really old hippie at quarterback. Yeah, we don't even plan to throw the football. Sign all the Pro Bowl quarters you want. It doesn't matter when Jalen Warren's getting 35 carries a game.
Yeah.
I think that this, if he stays healthy, this could be the type of thing that pushes them over the hump. I agree. I think on paper they have the best roster in the AFC. They may have the best roster in football.
Yeah.
But it's all about winning playoff games.
Yep.
I think that this helps solidify the floor of this team, solidify the floor of that defense. I think it was a smart signing by both the player and the team. Like, I think we have to give Jair Alexander credit here by finding a really good situation, seeking it out, and being willing to take a massive pay cut in which to do so. Because last season he was under contract as, what, the highest paid corner in football?
Yes.
And now he's being paid $6 million for 1 year of work, which is great work if he can get it. Don't get me wrong. It made too much sense. And when I saw it come across the timeline, of course it was the Ravens.
Yeah.
Because it was a smart, sensible signing by an extremely well-run organization. I just don't know, like, if I was, like, does this impact the win total? No, because I already thought the win total was high.
Yeah, they're the favorite in the division.
Oh, easily the favorite in the division. I do think it's a smart move, though, if you're looking at, if you're the Ravens and you believe that the Bengals are your biggest obstacle to winning the division this year, then that was a no-brainer of a signing.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, like, when you Texter gets in and says, I may be a little biased, but I still think the Eagles have the best roster in football, even with the few guys they let go. There's validity to that argument. The Eagles are the number one team in the NFC. Ravens are the number one team in the AFC on paper. If you want to compare, I would be cool with
either
answer.
But this is also the same Texter, though, that's factoring in that Tanner McKee is actually the ninth best quarterback in football when he's on the bench.
This is my guy. This is my McKee brother on the text line.
How much of the power rankings are being impacted here?
I love my guy 920, man. We're standing united in the Tanner McKee good fight. Tanner McKee's the backup this year. We finally got Kenny Pickett out of town. Thank the Lord, man. Thank the Lord.
All right, so I've got a topic. We got a couple minutes here. Topic I'm working on. It's not an original topic by any means.
Okay.
Because it's a fact or fiction, right? That's not an original thought. But I'm putting together a list of things because I want to flesh out a whole bunch of different topics over, you know, the rest of this offseason before we get into late August. But I'll start with this one here. Fact or fiction. Kenny Pickett is on the Browns 53-man roster to start the season.
Fiction.
I agree.
I think he's going to get cut.
I think he gets cut. I think they roll with Joe Flacco and the two rookies and you see if any one of those two young guys separates themselves over the course of the season.
I think Kenny Two Gloves is playing for the Argonauts in the very, very near future. No disrespect. He's made his money. He got
his
paycheck.
That's disrespectful for the Argonauts.
Yeah, that probably is.
I mean, think about, like, he's going to have to get some really big insulated gloves, or small insulated gloves, excuse me, to go play in Canada.
I would say...
And his days are done, in my opinion. I
would say that he should stick around as a backup, but I don't believe that to be the case. Like, I genuinely think he's garbage.
Why would they keep... Why, exactly. There's no reason for them to keep him as a backup when you have two young guys that you're trying to see what you have. I mean, just go look at the way that the Browns' OTAs and minicamp was covered.
Yeah.
Did you hear a word...
No.
About Kenny Pickett?
I heard that Shadur looked good, that Gabriel was fine, and that Flacco was likely to be the starter. Those are the three main things. Like, I think that I said this when they drafted Shadur. I think they're starting Flacco as like a bridge guy, and then the middle of the season they're going to pivot to Sanders. I don't know if Sanders is going to end up being good. I think that he was 100% worth the flyer in the fifth round, regardless of like the speeding tickets, whatever. You can have your opinion on Shadur off the field. Shadur is what it is at this point. He's an enigma. He's going to come with the spotlight. He's going to come with the flashiness, and it is what it is. If he ends up panning out, then they made an undeniably great selection at 155 or whatever it was in the fifth round of the NFL draft. But all indications out of camp thus far are that he is not just better, but significantly better and more progressed and far ahead of schedule than Dylan Gabriel is, which, in my opinion, was never even a conversation. I understand he fell off the face of the earth for whatever litany of reasons may be in the draft process, and I don't necessarily disagree with all of that. But at the end of the day, all indications are that Kenny Pickett's not a part of the future there in Cleveland, and I'm so tired of people in the media for teams that signed Kenny Pickett using the fact that he started for the Steelers as an excuse for him to be on a roster. That does not make him good. One general manager and a coaching staff making bad decisions or not having better options should not be used as the crux of an argument to roster an objectively bad player. He's been given every opportunity possible as a starter and a backup. He's trash. It is what it is. Like,
and he's out here throwing shade at both organizations that he was a part of. Like, anytime he gets a microphone, I mean, he and granted, I know he's the Browns quarterback, right? He's going to slander Pittsburgh. But I have yet to hear him say one time how anything that went down in Pittsburgh was his fault.
Yeah.
Or like, that he has any share of the responsibility.
That's not my backup quarterback, man. I banged the drum for McKee all last year because he's better, but also just like, I don't like the attitude with Kenny Pickett. I've never been a big Kenny Pickett guy, so it is what it is. Respect to the fake slide, though. That was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. That's probably the highlight of that young man's career. Texter gets in and says, if Watson was healthy, who would get cut? I clapped back and said Pickett and Flacco, I guess, or maybe a trade. I don't know. We got to take a quick break here on the program.
Well, I think if Deshaun Watson was healthy, none of those four would be on the roster.
If Deshaun was healthy, they'd probably just roll him back out there. But at the end of the day, Deshaun will never get cut because they can't, because they would essentially be folding the franchise by cutting him with what the dead cap figure would be. Like, they wouldn't be able to form a roster if they cut Deshaun. So they just have to pay him for the remainder of time or wait until that dead cap figure gets manageable and then cut him and cut ties after that. But if he were healthy in this scenario, I'm going to guess that they wouldn't have drafted both Shadur and Dylan, and I would guess that they wouldn't have traded for Pickett. If Deshaun was healthy, I think the QB room would be Deshaun, Flacco, and Sanders, because I don't think they would have drafted Gabriel. I think they drafted two because Watson got hurt, if that makes sense. So, and I still think drafting two was stupid. I think it was supremely stupid. I think Shadur falling to the fifth round was ridiculous, regardless of what your opinions are on him off the field. He's too talented to be a fifth round pick, and he's a lot better than Dylan Gabriel. That's not a super high bar, but I feel confident in saying that, and camp would indicate that that's been the case thus far as well. We'll talk more National Football League on the other side, then we'll go around the horn in the final segment with Faxon and John on the Roar. A couple people on the phone lines as well. We'll get to y'all right after this.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Guys, when was the last time you actually felt like you? Dragging through the day, zero drive, stuck with that gut? It might be low T. At Low Country Male, we make testosterone replacement simple and affordable. Plans start at just $200 a month that includes your labs, medication, and doctor visits. More muscle, more energy, more confidence. Get back to the man you used to be or better. Visit lowcountrymale.com. That's lowcountrymale.com.
Do you want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries and help people get back in the game. And best of all, they've been recognized as one of the country's best workplaces in manufacturing and production for 9 years. If you're looking to make a difference, learn new skills, and be part of an award-winning culture, check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Make living easy this summer with Kraft Stove Store and Patio, America's best in outdoor furniture. Make sure your outdoor space has everything it needs to impress your guests this summer with everything Kraft Stove Store and Patio can provide by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint Summer Classics, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can special order anything you need for your patio, porch, and pool furniture with Kraft Stove Store and Patio, located at 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen Report.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The only place for sports talk in the upstate is right here, every day. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues right here on The Roar. About half an hour left in the program with the phone lines loading up and the text line loading up. Keep getting in with us at 654-ROAR. We're about to come to Seminole Ted and then Noah. But first, I want to read off this text from 697, who's always getting in with good stuff. Appreciate you, 697. He said, like 2 weeks at NFL camp, I think his people who like Sanders are saying that he's doing good. Let's see. Wait to see in some games. To which I said, I don't think he's going to pan out to be a great NFL QB. All I'm saying is I think he deserved to be drafted a little bit higher than the fifth round. I then followed it up with, if we're being real, is anyone ever going to save the Browns? Because if we're being completely honest with ourselves, whoever does save the Cleveland Browns franchise at quarterback will forever go down in NFL lore as a legend, whoever it may be.
They had him. He's the starting quarterback at Tampa.
They didn't let Bake cook, man. They didn't let him cook.
Maybe they should have just been on the phone trying to get Liam Cohen to Cleveland, and that would have been the methods to madness for the Browns. But yeah, I agree. I do understand why they made the decision that they made at the end of the day, but like revisionist history and looking back on it, what a massive screw up and blunder from the Cleveland Browns. If they would have just rocked out with Baker, they could have got him under market value. They wouldn't have had all the scrutiny that's come with this Watson deal. They wouldn't have this massive hole of dead cap that they have to commit to at the quarterback position. And they probably don't have Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel or anything else on this team. So it is what it is. Texter gets in and says, it's obvious the special treatment he got hurt by Deion hurt his draft status. Just once again, my opinion, and I could be in the minority, if I'm an NFL GM and my food is on the table for how well I do my job, I'm going to draft the guy that's talented before I'm going to draft the guy that's not talented. I get that there's distractions. I get that there's off the field concerns to a certain degree. He's more talented than a fifth round type player.
He is.
That's all I'm saying.
He certainly is. But just stuff that I've read, when you go into a team meeting with an NFL coaching and front office people, if you treat it like a recruiting visit and not a job interview, they're not going to take you seriously.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely did a lot of this to himself with the speculatory stuff about his attitude and how he conducted. I'm not defending Shedeur. All I'm saying is that I think he's a little bit more talented than a fifth-round type guy. I would have taken him in the second or third. I don't think he's a top-five QB. Like, I was never a mega Shedeur Sanders fan. Now, I was a mega Travis Hunter fan. I think you guys saw why this year, because that kid is freaking special. Goodness gracious. We got Trevor Lawrence with Travis Hunter. Thank you. What a move by Gladstone in the new wave in Jacksonville. And, John, I will say this. For the first time in 3 years, I'm excited for some Jaguar football this year. So, there's that for whatever that's worth. Let's get Seminole Ted in here on the phone lines. 654 Roars the number. Ted, that's a sweet brother. We're riding high right now for our Atlanta Braves.
How sweet it is. You know, what the best outcome, that was icing on the cake right there. I'm sure that Mr. Deptool is probably scowling just a little bit today. But what'll make it even sweeter is if we can get three of them next week. But we got to handle business against the fish. I think that if we can just keep winning series, like I said, this team seems to be playing with a little bit more confidence. And really, it doesn't go to the Ozuna double, bases clearing double the other night, but that definitely sparked this particular series sweep. But I think that as this team continues to get confidence, and if Profar can step in here and really make a change and get the most potential out of these bats, help get the most potential out of these bats, I mean, that's the problem. Already, you've got a good lineup, but you put him in there, and you're going to have a great lineup. I'm really excited, man. I honestly think that we can maybe make a push and make the playoffs. That would be a bonus for me, considering the way we've started. And you have to give it credit to Snit. You know, I was so ready to fire him a couple of weeks ago when we were on that 7-game skid, because it just seemed like he didn't care. You know, and I do see a little bit of changing here and there, tweaking here and there. So it's not complete apathy when he puts together this lineup. But I want to see us get another good premium bat and some good arms at the trade deadline. And I think that if we're right at 500 or a little above, I think we're going to be buyers and definitely not sellers. But that's what I got. I'm looking forward to a series win against the fish. I'll take it off the air. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Ted. Thanks for getting in, brother. And, John, FanGraphs obviously is what I use for 99% of my baseball stats. It's the best site. It's got all the basic stats and all the analytics stats, and it also has predictive stats, which I really like because it has playoff odds. So the Braves dump the game to Colorado on Sunday, and they fall to a 27.8% chance of making the playoffs. The sweep over the Mets has them up to 40.5%. Almost a 13% increase because of three games this past weekend and what the Atlanta Braves playoff odds look like. And when you show and you prove that you're capable of beating the best team in the National League for three straight games, and you're starting to turn things around and win in 7 of 9 games, there is reasons to be encouraged right now in Atlanta, or there are reasons to be encouraged, rather. But obviously, it goes without saying you still have a long way to go, right? You still need to make moves to supplement the bullpen. You probably need another arm just out of security from a starter perspective. If you can buy low on a guy, or maybe get a waiver or a DFA guy to bring in and get you over through some of these injury issues. And then you likely need some middle infield help as well. admittedly don't know what the level of aggression is going to look like for the Atlanta Braves come the trade deadline, because you don't have a ton to trade, as we've referenced throughout the course of the program. You're not bartering anybody on a long-term deal. Anthopoulos already said that, which means you have to dip into your prospect pool, John. And the prospect pool, it ain't great. So unless you're parting with Caminiti, Fuentes, or Nacho, you're probably not getting anybody that's going to give the jolt into this team that you want to get. But you can still make your team incrementally better, especially on the back end of the bullpen, for pennies on the dollar and some lower-tier prospects. I just don't want Braves fans to get their expectations skewed that you're adding a guy like Devers at the deadline, because I don't think you have the prospect haul to make that happen in theory.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated to see what, you know, we talked about the other day when the quotes came out live during his media availability on The Fan Wednesday. I'm fascinated to watch Alex Anthopoulos navigate the next month.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Texter gets in on some NFL stuff and says T.O. and Antonio Brown were so talented, but their personalities cause issues. Not saying Shadur is anywhere close to them, just saying personality and attitude is very important. I agree with you, 761, and I think it's very important at quarterback specifically. I think Shadur has a problem. Like, I have come out and said this before. I'm somewhere in the middle of where 99% of people are on Shadur Sanders. I think he's better at football than the majority of people do, and I think that the attitude stuff is valid, but maybe not as ridiculously bad as some people think. But I still do think he needs growth, change, and maturity, and I think all of that goes without saying, right? We can all collectively come into an agreement that Shadur needs to mature. He needs to, you know, have a way to become a leader, and he can drop whatever press conference bars he wants to at the combine, saying when he comes in, the culture and the thing. Things change, and you know what? He's right. But you know who also changed that culture at Jackson State in Colorado? Deion freaking Sanders, one of the best five players to ever play the game, who has an unbelievable amount of name reputation that provided an influx of talent to both of those schools. So this is a completely different ball game, and I just want to make sure that Shadur understands that more than anything, because this ain't college where you can just come in and flash the watch. Bro, these guys got more money than you'll ever see in your life that are in your locker room right now, especially a guy like Flacco, who's been playing the pretty pity position for, what, 20 years now that Joe Flacco's been playing quarterback in this league. So Shadur's got a lot to learn. I don't think it's a great fit with Watson and Flacco, considering Watson's not even with the team right now to a certain degree, and Flacco has openly given quotes before of, I'm not here to mentor a rookie. That doesn't make me feel great about what Shadur's structure is for leadership. He's going to have to figure some stuff out on his own.
Well, that's what the money's for.
That's what the money's for, man.
You're not playing for your dad anymore.
It's not daddy ball.
It's time to grow up. Time to go figure it out. You're playing with a bunch of other grown men.
Yep.
Time to figure it out. I think he will, but, you know, got to go put the work in. And it's also not up to Joe Flacco to make sure that Shadur Sanders has a positive rookie year.
That is true. It is not
Joe Flacco. Is being paid to try to win football games for the Cleveland Browns. He has enough on his plate trying to do that. I don't know if you know this. The Browns are probably not very good, regardless of who they play at quarterback. So he probably needs to spend a lot of his time and attention figuring out ways that he can get his 40-year-old self to win football games.
That is very true.
So I saw the quote, and so I went and I found the media availability when he said that.
Yeah.
And it was nowhere near as demonstrative as like how Brett Favre was towards Aaron Rodgers, or how Aaron Rodgers was towards Jordan Love, or any of those, or, you know, even at times when the Patriots brought somebody in to be groomed under Tom Brady. And he's like, listen, like, you know, if he picks up stuff, great, but, like, you know, I'm also, like, my job is to be the quarterback, not to be the quarterback's coach.
That's correct.
You know, so I think that, like, there's been so many times where it's been demonstrative in the past when players have said that. Like, I genuinely don't think that he's not going to sit here and hold his hand. But I don't think he's, you know, one of the... I think Joe Flacco has enough situational and self-awareness to know that he doesn't have, like, 10 more years left in the league.
Right. This could be his last hurrah.
Sure, yes. And so he's going to try to maximize that as much as he can, because I think he owes it to the other 50 members of the locker room to be the best quarterback one he can versus trying to be the best quarterback coach he can be for the room.
That's true. And Seminole Ted gets...
Like to look at the investment made to Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
How like $40 million per whatever. Like, you have to look Denzel Ward in the eye. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to go around that locker room and tell David Njoku, like, hey, another year doesn't matter. No, like, Someone's got to be the adult here and try to go win football games.
Yeah.
I think if Shador is smart, he will take this year as an opportunity to watch someone lead by example and just absorb everything Joe Flacco does.
Yeah.
But it's not on Joe Flacco to create the blueprint for how to be an NFL quarterback for him.
Seminole Ted says, I don't think Sanders is going to be anything other than a backup in his career. To be honest with you, I don't even have a way to project long-term for a fifth-round pick that's in a weird QB situation with five guys in the room. He's playing for the least successful franchise in the league. Like, he is being thrown an immense amount of adversity on a path to success. But if he is talented, and if he is going to change that culture, like he said, and he is going to be a guy that wants to be a starting quarterback in this league for a long time, like many anticipate and some don't anticipate, then he will find a way to overcome those circumstances. And he will find a way to succeed in spite of some of those things that are going on around him that might not be super conducive to his success, especially in the immediate future. I'll go ahead and say this on June 20th. Shador Sanders is going to start a football game for the Cleveland Browns at some point this season. He is. He's too big of a name to not do it. The team's going to be garbage, and they're going to get to the end of the year, and they're going to give both of those rookies a chance in Gabriel and Sanders, and they're going to see what they've got, because you're going to get to the point in the year for the Cleveland Browns where they have nothing to lose, John. And at that point, you don't want to roll Joe Flacco. Another thing about this that a lot of people aren't acknowledging before we take a quick break, and we'll get to Noah on the other side. We appreciate you calling in, as always, Noah. And QCT corrects me and says, least successful franchise in the league, are you on drugs? I probably should have the Browns' history is weird because of the transition, John, so like technically it's not, and they have championships, and there are some expansion franchises that haven't won a championship, but the Cleveland Browns, quote-unquote, have never won the Super Bowl. I know that there's some weirdness in the background with the actual franchise itself, though, QCT, so that's on me. But when it comes to the Browns, I do think you reach a point in the season where Joe Flacco could be used as trade bait. And I think you could get a haul for him because somebody's quarterback is going to get hurt on a good team. It sucks to say, but it's the truth. It happens every year. Somebody's quarterback is going to get hurt on a good team, and they're not going to have a good backup quarterback, and they're going to be looking around. And who is the bailout guy been when that's happened for the last 5 years for whatever franchise it may be, John? It's been Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's having his phone ring. Come play for Indianapolis. Come play for Cleveland. You can come bail us out of this situation here. We know you can do enough to win us football games in the short term if we have a good team around you. So that's my projection for how things go in Cleveland this year. I think Joe Flacco is your week one starter. I think he spends the ball at a pretty decent level because I think he's still got a little bit left in the tank. And then if I'm Cleveland and I'm Andrew Berry, I'm punting the season at the trade deadline. I'm getting whatever compensation I can for a 41-year-old Flacco, and I'm saying, Sanders, you're getting three games. If you play well, you can keep it. If not, we're going to Gabriel, and I'm trying to get a top-tier pick in next year's draft as well for Cleveland. Because you play in a division now that has three teams who have playoff and championship aspirations. You do. The Ravens' expectation this year is to win the Super Bowl. Burrow has said out loud that he wants to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl every year. That's what they're anticipating to happen in Cincinnati. And if Pittsburgh wanted to rebuild, they wouldn't have signed Aaron Rodgers and traded for DK Metcalf. So you are in the lone position in your division of a team that does not have short-term expectations conducive to winning. If I'm Cleveland, I'm starting Flacco until the trade deadline. I'm getting whatever pick I can get out of him on that short-term deal, and then I'm rolling the rookies out there for eight games in the back half of the season and saying, if we lose, it doesn't matter. We're going to get a better pick anyways, and seeing if you at least have something viable in one of Shador Sanders and or Dylan Gabriel. We're coming to Noah in Spartanburg after a quick break here on the program. Final segment of the week if you want to beat the buzzer at 654-ROAR.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, and because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Hey, Roar listeners, Morgan Coleman here. Spring is the busiest time of the year for real estate, so let's make sure you're prepared before you jump into the market. Whether it's your first time buying and selling or your 10th, schedule a meeting with me to ensure you're armed with the information you need. I take pride in the education I provide my clients and would be honored to do the same for you. If you're considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Roto-Rooter is the original sewer and drain cleaning company. Our founder invented the first electric drain cleaning machine in 1935. Not all Rooter companies are the same. Roto-Rooter is the best choice for plumbing, drain cleaning, and pipe repairs. When water isn't going down the drain like it's supposed to, call the experts at Roto-Rooter at 1-800-GET-ROTO.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
We've got a jam-packed Friday edition of Out of Bounds for you. Noon to 3 right here on the Roar. Ben Milstead and I will break down Game 6 of the NBA Finals between the Pacers and the Thunder. College World Series final is set. We'll preview that. Plus, we have Mets-Braves recap, Marlins-Braves preview as we turn the page from one series to the next. And, of course, lots of nuggets, news, projections, analysis across the ever-entertaining world of college football. 654 Roar, you want to get in on a Friday? Let's do it.
The only place in the upstate to catch Atlanta Braves games is right here on the Roar.
Fly ball deep right.
Jansen, here's the 0-2.
Got him. Holy smokes.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Kick it.
We welcome you back in, everybody. It's the final segment of the week here on a Friday with Fax and Childress and John Haidt on The Roar. We're going to come to Noah on the phone lines here momentarily. Want to get to a couple cleanup work texts on the Adams Co. Roofing text line here that I missed in the previous segment. The first of which was Ricky saying, one thing Shadur needs to do is hire a driver and get off the road. Ayo, there you go. I'm going to give Ricky his flowers there. Pretty funny and timely comment there from 615. Another texter gets in, and it's 442, and this is actually interesting, John. So I want to run this by you real quick, because I feel like the 99.9% of the discourse around Shedeur Sanders since draft day has been negative. And listen, he brought a lot of that on himself. He didn't help himself this past month being cited for two different speeding violations. I'm not sitting here banging the drum for Shedeur and defending him. I just want to make sure we have that out in the air so nobody's misinterpreting what I'm saying. But I do think that maybe the pendulum has swung too far in the wrong direction of, like, we've made this not about football to the point where nobody's really talking football about Shedeur anymore, except 442, who gets in and says Shedeur is better than Cam Ward. Ward is a turnover machine. Only knock on Sanders' play is his lack of mobility. So I'm going to give 60 seconds on both players. We're going to take Noah's call and go around the horn. The thing with Shadur for me that's the biggest issue on top of the lack of mobility is the proneness to taking negative plays. It was my biggest qualm on him with my draft evaluation of him. He runs backwards too much, and he does the Caleb Williams thing where he thinks he can bail out of the pocket horizontally but doesn't realize that the pocket doesn't exist anymore and he needs to step up and either find a running lane, throw the ball away, or take a sack and minimize damage. He takes way too many negative plays. Way too many negative plays. That's my number one issue with Shadur Sanders. I think he's a pretty good player. He can layer the ball. He's got a decent arm. He's very, very accurate, which a lot of people lose with Shadur. I think he's a second-round type talent QB that got drafted lower because of self-induced personality stuff and Dion and all the lights around him. And to be honest, I think the GMs got a little bit spooked and didn't want to deal with the clown show. Now, on Cam Ward, I don't disagree that Cam Ward is a turnover machine. To be honest, I think he's one of the worst number one picks in the most recent memory. I don't hate Cam Ward as a prospect, but I think your concerns with the turnover issues are very, very valid. Like, there's a learning curve that Cam Ward is going to have to adjust to that reminds me a lot of what Caleb Williams had to adjust to as a rookie. Hey, brother, you're not playing in blank league anymore. You're playing in the National Football League. So what you're going to have to do is eliminate this side-to-side running. You are dead. You are immediately dead, unless your name is Lamar Jackson, if you try that side-to-side BS that you can get away with in the Pac-12 and the ACC. You try that in the NFL and you're dead, brother. You're dead. So Cam Ward's going to have to get popped in the mouth a couple times to figure that out for himself. My biggest issue with Ward is the fundamentals and the footwork even when he's in the pocket. I love the nonchalant style of play. It's like very fun to watch. Cam Ward is a very fun and entertaining watch. You need to clean up that footwork and start stepping into throws and stop playing so nonchalant because you're playing for millions now and you're the face of a franchise. So that's my 60 seconds on both Shadur Sanders and Cam Ward. I don't love either as prospects. I think in totality, this is a pretty weak quarterback class, but somebody needs a quarterback and Tennessee needed Ward. I think they made the right selection. And then I think Shadur fell way too far. But again, I understand based on the context and all the things flying around his name right now in the media. Let's get Noah and Spartanburg in here pretty quickly in the final segment. Noah, we appreciate you checking in, as always, brother.
No, I appreciate y'all taking my call. I'm going to be quick because I know y'all got to go around the horn. Am I a fool for thinking the Ravens got a lot better yesterday?
No, you're not a fool, man. They've got the best roster in the league, in my opinion, on paper, and that's including my Eagles. If there is a challenger, it would be the Eagles. But I think Jair pushes them to a new level, man. Nate Wiggins on one side, Jair Alexander on the other. They added DeAndre Hopkins to the wide receiver room in the offseason. Lamar played a really good year last year, in my opinion. I think that the Ravens are your Super Bowl favorites as of right now. Now, what we said earlier in the program...
Crazy.
Yeah, no, you're not crazy at all, but like...
No, I'm saying the secondary room is crazy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Marlon Humphrey caught Kyle Hamilton.
And they drafted Malachi Starks, Noah. Like, they're insane back there.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously... I mean, no doubt. I don't think there's a way to argue. That's the best secondary room in the NFL.
Yeah, it is by a landslide. And then also, like, on that defense, Trenton Simpson, Roquan Smith, Broderick Washington, Travis Jones, Kyle Van Noy, like, the Ravens are loaded. As we mentioned earlier in the program, the main concern with this team is the mental approach and getting the monkey off your back in the playoffs. At that point, that's really the only thing you can nitpick with Baltimore is, okay, we know you're really good. We've seen you be really good for a decade. You go to the playoffs every year. You win one game. You crap out to the Bills or the Chiefs. That's the next step for Lamar Jackson. That's the next step for the Baltimore Ravens. They've got to earn that trust with me this year, Noah, before I start projecting Super Bowl, because I got burned again last year where I thought they were going to be the best team in the AFC, and I picked them over the Chiefs preseason, and they screwed me again.
And then the last thing I'll ask is, Justin Simmons, he's still available? And, like, Rasul Douglas, are they still available?
I haven't seen an update on Justin Simmons. Where is he? Did he sign anywhere officially?
As of, like, 6 days ago, he was still available, but, like, I mean, so much changes hour to hour in the NFL. I haven't seen anything since then, so, like...
Yeah, I'm...
There's a lot of big names still available. Like, I just didn't know if y'all saw anybody that y'all knew was still available. If y'all had a place, like, someone like Gabe Davis, Amari Cooper, Judon, Gilmore, you know, if y'all thought of any places a player like that could go right before camp starts.
Yeah, I...
You see most of them players being... get through camp, get through preseason, and see how badly we're beat up or hurt and what we need going into the year. Then we'll sign those veterans.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe that's the method to the madness, is teams trying to evaluate what their needs are and where the injuries shake up. But I'll tell you right now, Justin Simmons has to be on an NFL roster next year. I mean, you're talking about an all-pro caliber safety. I understand he's 31 years old and maybe not in his athletic prime anymore, but he still has more than enough left in the tank. So I'm a little shocked to see him and Rasul not get picked up yet. But Noah, the contract situations can be weird, as you know, in the NFL with the timing of everything. And maybe you drafted a guy that you really like at his position and you want to see if he pans out during camp, and if not, you're going to cut him and then sign Simmons. There's a lot of fluidity to these type of situations, so Simmons is going to end up on a roster. Rasul is going to end up on a roster. The only one that I wouldn't say might end up on a roster is Gabe Davis, because I think he's a bum. But yeah, my opinions at this point on him.
Yeah, 100%. I just want to say I appreciate y'all as always. I hope y'all have a great weekend, and go Tigers.
Yeah.
I don't think I've added that yet.
Yeah.
As a hangout, so I'm going to add that. Go Tigers.
Appreciate it, Noah. Go Tigers. How about that? Keep calling back in, brother. We appreciate you as always. All right, John. Abbreviated around the horn today. You can start things off if you have anything else to add on our onslaught of NFL topics. Then we can talk about what's going on this weekend.
No, I think there are three things to keep an eye on this weekend. College World Series, Atlanta Braves, NBA Finals, Game 7.
Oof. I'm excited.
So, yeah, I mean, not much on the sports card this weekend.
Just two champions of major sports being established. Nothing crazy.
When we come in here Monday morning, will we have a national champion in baseball, or will we still have Game 3 to play?
Ooh, I like this question because I was thinking about asking it to you. I think we're going to have a Game 3. That's where I'm leaning right now. I think Coastal is going to lose Game 1, and I think they're going to win Game 2. And I think we're going to come in on Monday and have a preview for a Game 3 winner-take-all between the Tigers and the Chanticleers. And to be honest, John, I don't know who I'm picking. I think I'm leaning Coastal right now, even though my brain's telling me LSU. But that team is on such a monumental heater right now, it feels insane to pick against a team on a 26-game heater.
I'm going to go with the inverse. I think Coastal wins Saturday. LSU survives on Sunday. We get a Game 3 take all Monday. Give me Coastal.
Let's go.
Give me Coastal. Why not?
I'm taking Coastal, too.
Why not? They've been an incredible ride. You know, you wonder, does LSU, how much is left in the tank after the craziness it was to get Arkansas out of this field? And Coastal's just playing like a team of destiny right now, so I'm not going to go away from it.
Yeah.
Stick with the Chanticleers.
I'm taking the Shants, too. I think they find a way to get the job done. I think Coach Schnall's done a phenomenal job this year. And I think I would say that the majority of America as neutrals is rooting for Coastal. Would you say that's fair? I think that that's...
I don't know. I think that there's probably a large camp of this country that wants to see what the Jello shot total could be if LSU wins it all.
That's true.
So I think there's maybe some... You know, certainly maybe the owners of Rocco's are probably pulling for LSU in that regard. But no, I think that you have, you know, as... It's, I mean, as loose of a term of Cinderella as you can have for that with Coastal, and then you have the big brand in LSU. I think there's a little bit of everything here for the nation.
For sure.
What do you make of the Braves this weekend going up against the Marlins? After the big sweep this week, you're riding high, emotions are high. We've got a 20-year-old making his MLB debut tonight. Everything goes according to plan this weekend, right?
I'd like to request a chop. I would like to request a chop here. Listen, they called me a madman a couple weeks back for taking the positive outlook, all right? They've won 7-9. You don't get championship trophies for winning 7-9 to get to 500. But another sweep this weekend, you could start to get me to really buy into the future of what the Atlanta Braves could accomplish this year. And John, I think they are going to do the darn thing. Give me the Atlanta Braves to sweep the Miami Marlins this weekend down in South Beach and build a 6-game win streak after sweeping back-to-back divisional foes. Now, I will say this. If they are going to lose a game, I think it is probably today. I feel really good about Grant Holmes the last time out. 15 strikeouts and was mowing through that lineup for the Colorado Rockies. Playing against Yuri Perez on Saturday's game, who's got almost a 7 ERA and has really struggled in his young career. Then you turn around on Sunday, afternoon game. Bryce Elder's been playing pretty well as of late. You've got him going up against Sandy Alcantara. Now, I understand that name probably, you know, burns into Braves fans' minds, and it's like, oh no, that guy owns us. 7 ERA this year. So again, if you can't hit Yuri Perez and Sandy, you don't deserve to win. Now, today could get a little bit weird because Fuentes is not going to throw more than 5 innings in this game in any scenario, barring some level of miracle. You're going to have to tax your bullpen, which can be unreliable, and you're also on a turnaround travel day headed down to Miami. I get it. If you're going to drop one, it's probably today. But I think the Braves find a way to overcome the odds and complete a sweep of the Miami Marlins. I told you I thought the energy had shifted after the first game of the Mets series. I think we're going to look back on that Ozuna double as the turning point in this season for Atlanta. And I don't know if it's all going to go swimmingly and you're going to miracle ride into the end of the playoffs on your horse carriage or anything along those lines. But I think this team can very easily finish above 500 this year. And you can keep a good momentum going right now with the sweep over the Miami Marlins. So give me the Braves to sweep.
Two of the best words in American sports. Game 7.
Game 7, man.
Pacers, Thunder, in Oklahoma City.
Oh, I can't wait.
8 o'clock Sunday night. Oklahoma City right now is a 7.5-point favorite. I'm going to take the Indiana Pacers on the road here.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that last night's performance by the Thunder, I said it a lot earlier in the program, I cannot back a team. I cannot pick a team. Cannot...
Quark is peering through the glass right
I'm
now.
I'm just saying, the way that the Thunder's approach to that game last night was an embarrassment to professional basketball.
Listen, we've talked about the home road splits.
You had an ability to claim the trophy last night, and you chose not to do so, and you chose to end the third quarter down by 30. Let Tyrese Halliburton doing 360 passes to dunks.
Yeah. You know what? I said Thunder in 7 pre-series, and I never do this. I'm going back. I'm going to take the Indiana Pacers as well. And I understand we've laid out all these home road splits, and I understand that OKC is like the greatest team since sliced bread at home. Give me the Pacers. And I think that the Pacers' momentum and the way that Rick Carlisle, who I slandered yesterday, had a great adjustment with the way that they were defending Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I watched my Warriors play in a Game 7 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ty Lue blitzed the ever-living crap out of Steph Curry and said, we're going to lose to anybody else on the floor. And you know what? Draymond had like 35 points, and it wasn't enough. I'm expecting Carlisle to send the floodgates at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and dare Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren to beat the Indiana Pacers. We know it's going to be low scoring. We know it's going to be gritty. Give me the Pacers by 6 in Game 7, and Texter asks for what random role player is going to go off and have a big-time game. Give me the Nimhard game that we've waited for all NBA Finals, and William Quackenbush is coming in feeling like $1 million on Monday morning. And on that note, the week is over. See you next week, and you can hear from our resident Pacers fan, William Quackenbush.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.